This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. In these teachings, Rick looks at how God can take every situation in life, including the absolute worst circumstances, and turn them around for your good and His glory. If you know someone who needs some powerful Bible-based encouragement, then stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about the Journey Toward Hope guided experience. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God and renew your sense of hope. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with a message called When Your World Collapses.
Every one of us here are in one of three conditions. You either A, know somebody who is in a crisis right now, or B, you're in one yourself right now, or C, you don't realize it, but you're getting ready to go into one. Because they happen all the time in life. And you are maybe headed into a crisis that you're not prepared for, a financial crisis. You get laid off. A health crisis. You get the dreaded call from the doctor. The test came back positive. Or a relational crisis. Somebody walks out of your life. These kind of things just happen. A loved one dies. And you either know somebody in that situation, you're in it right now, or you're probably going to be going into it in the near future. So what I want to do this weekend is I want to speak to all three groups, regardless of which one you're in. And first, I want us to look at, how do you help a friend in shock? Maybe you're not there right now. I hope you're not. I hope you're not in a crisis. But you're going to know some friends that are in it, either now or in the days ahead. So what do you do? The Bible commands us, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, commands us to help people in pain, to help those who are in shock, to help people who are going through a difficult time. Galatians 6:2 says this, by helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. Now, what is the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. Anytime you help somebody in pain, you help somebody in shock, you are loving your neighbor as yourself. God wants us to learn how to take shock and turn it into service. What do you do when you got a friend in shock? Number one, show up. That's just the first thing you do. You just show up. You don't stand on the sidelines. You don't wait for an invitation. Now, I know when you see somebody in pain, they've lost their job. They just discovered they've got breast cancer. A loved one died. Somebody just asked for a divorce. A lot of times, I don't know what to say. Okay, let me tell you something. You don't have to say anything. In fact, it would be better if you just show up and shut up. You don't need to say anything, so stop worrying, saying, I don't know what to say to my friend who's in shock, who's in pain, who's in grief. You don't need to say anything. You shut up, but you show up. That's the ministry of presence. And by the way, don't wait for an invitation. You just show up. You remember the story of Job, how he lost everything on one day. He lost his health, he lost his wealth, and he lost his entire family to a group of terrorists. And here's what happened, Job chapter 2. When Job's three friends heard all about the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and they met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. Now that's a true friend. That's a true friend. When they heard their friend was in shock that he'd lost it all, they heard about the troubles, it says they set out from their home. They didn't wait for an invitation. They didn't wait to be invited. They just set out, said, our friend's in pain, we're going. When Matthew died, my small group was on the driveway of Matthew's house within minutes. I mean, minutes. And they were all there. And this is a group that I've been in for 11 years. And you know what? I didn't need them to say anything. When you are in deep, deep pain, you don't need words, you need touch. That's what you need. You need touch. And the guys in my group, they just came over and they were just patting me on the back. And I was sobbing. And they were hugging me. And they were just standing there. And they'd walk over for a little bit and be quiet. Then they'd come back over and put an arm on my a hand on my shoulder. I didn't need any words. There were no words to describe the pain I was going through at that moment. I was in shock. That's the first stage of getting through what you're going through. And they were literally there in minutes. And then you know what my small group did? They all spent the night at my house that night. They slept on the floor. They slept on the couch. They didn't go home. They said, we're not leaving. We're going to be with you all night. Josh and Jamie's small group did the exact same thing. Amy and Tommy's small group, they rallied around Amy and Tommy. Our family was smothered in love. The people who were closest to us in our small groups showed up when we need them most. Now, here's the second thing you do for a friend. You share their pain. You share their pain. And this is the second thing that Job's friends did. It says in Job chapter 2, 12 and 13, that Job's friends saw him from a distance. They remember, they're coming to see him. And before they even get to him, it says, they began to weep aloud. They haven't even got to him yet. They just see him from a far distance. And they're already crying. They began to weep aloud. And they tore their robes, sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him. Look at this. For 7 days and seven nights, and no one said a word to him. That's a friend. Have you ever sat with anybody a day without saying a word? I doubt it. They said 7 days without and seven nights, nobody said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Now, I want you to write this down. The greater the grief, the fewer words needed. You're going to need to use this when people are in pain around you. The greater the grief, the fewer words needed. Now, if it, you know, somebody gets a splinter, you can talk to them for half an hour. Okay? And, you know, if they had a bad hair day, you can talk to them on the phone for 30 minutes and comfort them on that. If they lose a loved one, you just need to be quiet. You just need to be there. It is the ministry of presence. Now, the Bible says, weep with those who weep. And what that means is that people, when they're in this phase, this is just one of the six phases, they don't need words, they need tears. And by the way, remember, when somebody's in pain, the whole family is likely in pain too. I remember in the last several months when Kay and I and our family would be together and someone would come up and say, oh, Pastor Rick, I'm so sorry for your loss. And I'm going, do you not realize all these other people had the same loss? They're in as much pain as I am. My wife, my kids, my grandkids, my family, my in-laws, they're in the same pain. So you need to realize that everybody's in pain. So you show up, you share their pain. And then here's the third thing you do. You take the initiative. When you have a friend who's in shock, you take the initiative. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:27, whenever you possibly can, do good to those who need it. Now, do good means anything. It could be run an errand, offer to babysit, bring a meal, mow a lawn. Do good means any practical thing you can do. Whenever you possibly can, do those who need it. Now, let me tell you what not to do. Don't say to somebody who's just gone through a major loss, they just got fired, they just got a bad report from the doctor's office. Don't say, call me if you need anything. That's about the dumbest thing you can say to somebody in shock. Because now you've put it on them. They've got to work to get your help. Call me. If you're not taking the initiative, you're forcing them to take the initiative. Don't say, call me if you need anything. And by the way, don't even say, how can I help? Because when somebody's in shock, they haven't the slightest idea how you can help. When somebody is in shock, they are numb. They are paralyzed. They pick up a newspaper and they look at it, but they can't even read it. Their eyes aren't even focusing on it. They're just in another. Everything is moving in slow motion. If you've ever been in shock, you know what this is. And so you don't say, you know, call me if you need me, or what can I do for you? Because they can't think of, that's forcing them to think, and they can't think. What you do want to do is you want to say to these people, you give them options. And some of you say, I'd like to bring you dinner, Wednesday or Thursday. Then they got a choice. So you're not saying, can I do anything for you? Just say, I'd like to bring you dinner. Would Wednesday or Thursday work best? You could call and say, I'm going to the store. Can I pick up something for you? That's practical. Now, I know that some of you are barely hanging on. You're in this stage because of something happening in your life, and you're kind of going through the motions, and maybe just here, you're just going through the motions coming to church. I'm glad you're here. I really am. What do you do when you're in a catastrophe? Because some of you are in that right now. Well, I don't want to give you a long list of things to do. Let me just give you two. When you're in this first stage, you need to do two things. Number one, you need to cry out to God. Cry out to God. This is the bare minimum. Two things to do, because this is probably all you can do when you're in shock. Cry out to God. Psalm 50, verse 15 says this. Call to me in your day of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will honor me. You see what that says? That you actually honor God when you call out for his help? Why? Because you are depending on God. It honors God when you depend on God. Lamentations chapter 2, 19 says this. Get up, cry out in the night. Some of you need to do this right now. Cry out, cry all through the night. Pour out your heart like water in prayer to the Lord. Lift up your hands in prayer to him. Now he says, cry out in the night, cry out all through the night. Why? I'll tell you why. Because when you're in shock, you can't sleep. If you've ever been in shock, you know you don't sleep when you're in shock. You just keep waking up and waking up. What do? When you keep waking up? Cry out to God. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm sad. God, I'm sick. God, you just pour out every emotion you've got to God. That's what God wants you to do. You pray. If you want to listen to some praise music or something, but open up your heart to God. That's the first thing you do. The second thing you do is you let others help you. I let other people help me. And when you're going through shock, you need to be easy on yourself. Don't be rough. And by the way, never try to make a major decision when you're in shock, because it'll almost always be wrong. So postpone any major decision. If you just go through a major crisis, don't act like it didn't happen. It did. If you just got laid off or whatever happened in your life, don't act like it didn't happen. It did. And postpone any major decision that you can. Be easy on yourself. Take it easy and accept assistance from others. Let other people help you. You know, I love the fact that my neighbors took my trash cans out. I didn't ask them to do that, but they've taken them out and put them back. I had neighbors who went and washed my car. Last week, my neighbor Yasser, who's a Muslim, insisted on driving me to the first service. He said, no, I'm not going to let anybody else. Rick, I'm your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so he drove me to the first service. My neighbor did. He said, I want you driving. I'll drive you. That's what a friend does. Proverbs 17:17 says this. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. What's that saying? The Bible is saying that relationships are best when you're in pain. A brother is born for adversity. Friends are made for, fair weather friends show up. You know, it's interesting when you're in shock, who shows up and who doesn't. And what you need to do on that is not judge the people who don't show up, because they may be in their own kind of pain. But just realize that real friends walk in when everybody else walks out. A brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. Now, I'm saying you got to let other people help you when you're in this first stage. And the reason why I'm saying this is because your natural reaction when you're in deep pain is to withdraw. Your natural reaction, you get laid off, you don't want to talk to anybody. You just find out you got breast cancer, you don't want to talk to anybody. You just had a miscarriage, you don't want anybody to know about it. You just had some major thing happen in your life. It is the human reaction to withdraw into isolation, and that is the exact opposite of what you need. In shock, you need fellowship. You need people. You don't need people to talk to you. You just need people to show up in your life. You know, my watch, and you turn it over on the back, it says shock resistant. I want you to be shock resistant. Okay? I want you to be able to handle the shocks of life better than most people. Some people never recover. But you can do things. How do you improve your resistance to shock? Well, let me just give you two things. Write these down. Number one, cultivate stronger relationships. God never intended for you to go through life on your own, by yourself, handling all your problems without any support group. In fact, God created a spiritual family. That spiritual family is called the church, and your spiritual family is going to outlast your physical family. Physical families, sorry, they don't last. People grow up, they move off, they get married, there are divorces, people die. Physical families don't last. And so you need to cultivate strong relationships. Now, the best time for you to build a safety net for the crises that are going to inevitably happen in your life is obviously before they happen. You need the safety net now. One of the reasons why I was able to handle what I've been through is because I had a safety net that was already set up with very strong relationships. And that kind of safety net was there. It's why I keep saying to you, you need a church family and you need to be in a small group. And here's what the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 4. Two can accomplish more than twice as much as one. And if one falls down, then the other can pull him up. That's why you need a partner. That's why you need a group. One falls down, the other can pull him up. But if a man falls when he's alone, he's in trouble. One person standing alone can be attacked and defeated by any kind of circumstance. But two can stand back to back and conquer. And having three is even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Today, start building the strong relationships. You need to cultivate strong relationships. Number two, the other thing you need to do is grow spiritual roots. You need to grow spiritual roots so that when the heat's on, you're not a tumbleweed. You don't dry up and blow away. You cannot be a spiritual tumbleweed. You've got to get some roots in your life. You've got to know the Bible better so when the tough times come, you know what's going to keep you strong. It's what you know that gets you through. You need to know the Bible better. You need to know God better. Here's what Jeremiah 17 says. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they go right on producing delicious fruit. You got to have roots so you can have the fruits. You got to put down some spiritual roots. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says this. Just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him. Let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth. What a beautiful picture. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Jesus, I know that there are many people hurting here today. I know that there are people who are in shock. I pray that they will cry out to you. I pray that they will let you adopt them into your family. If you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, just say something like this. Jesus Christ, I want to be adopted into your family. I want to trust you for my salvation. I don't understand it all, but I ask you to forgive all my sins, and I ask you to come into my life And I ask you to show me the purpose that I was made to live for. I want to live for you the rest of my life. In your name I pray. Amen.
If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Hey, if you missed any part of this message, or if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. Be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. That's PastorRick.com. If you really need some powerful encouragement, then let me tell you about the Journey Toward Hope guided experience. This full-color vegan leather study tool will help you take your quiet time to a new level. You can go through it at your own pace. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God so that He can renew your spirit and your sense of hope. The Journey Toward Hope guided experience will help you uncover the hidden reasons you may lose hope and will teach you how to maintain and bolster that hope for a lifetime. It's perfect for you or a loved one. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Just go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
You know, here at Daily Hope, we use the internet and podcasts and email and as many other different channels as possible to share God's hope and love with as many people as we can. Now, one of the ways that we use is by broadcasting on radio stations, just like the one you're listening to right now. Now, you may not know this, but purchasing radio airtime is a significant expense for our ministry. But we want to bring this teaching to you, and we believe you are worth it. Now, in order to be good stewards of the gifts that God has given to us, we're only able to continue on the air on stations where listener supporters let us know that they're listening to the programs. That's why it's very important that you let us know the call letters and the city of your radio station when you give any kind of gift or support to Daily Hope. This is very important. Let us know your call letters and the name of the city that you're hearing this broadcast. Now, I realize that some of you can't afford to help us out financially. That's okay. We love you. We thank God for you. We want to minister and serve you. Everybody in the body of Christ has different gifts to share at different times in life. You can pray for us, and there will be others of you who can give generously so that God can continue to spread this message throughout the world. You need to know that Daily Hope is 100% funded by the daily gifts and offerings that you give with your generous support. You also need to know that I don't take any salary from Daily Hope. All of the gifts given to this broadcast go directly toward fulfilling our mission of reaching people with the certain hope that we can only find in Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to do something today. Will you pray for me? And will you pray for this Daily Hope ministry? Help us to reach every person in the world with the certain hope that only comes from believing and receiving Jesus Christ. You know, it's only by hearing the Word of God and by putting into practice that we discover and we fulfill the purposes God has for each of our lives. So I want to just say thank you. Thank you so much for your financial support that you're able to give whenever you're able to give it, and may God bless your generosity.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.